It's that time here in Spain where we join Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. And hi there, Bill. How are we?
Hi, Howard. Fine, thank you. How are you? Have you had a good week?
I've had a good week. I've had a busy week. It's very interesting these days. What with Brexit on the horizon, the clock is ticking down to this official Brexit day. Do you think that life will change significantly for UK nationals who are living in Spain?
Well, it depends what you mean, really, Howard. But I answer what you mean, but it does depend how you define the word significantly. You and I go back nearly 30 years on the radio and in our friendship. But the truth is, we remember, of course, the days when British people turned up to live in Spain and went to the local police station, declared themselves as resident, got a residencia. If they were sensible, they got themselves an NIE number, and they were up and running with pretty much all the required benefits of everyday life. They were able to use reciprocal health treaty terms, which of course have amalgamated now into the terms available under the E111. But you know, I don't think that apart from the inconvenience of having to manage your residence now, and that shouldn't be too significant, then I don't think there are going to be that many changes. I mean, the Spanish Prime Minister, Pedro Sanchez, at the back end of December, he went out of his way to reassure British nationals living in Spain that their rights will not change after the UK leaves the European Union, whenever that happens. He said their rights will be preserved, whatever the scenario of Brexit. So he was talking in an annual year-end press conference, and obviously it isn't binding, but you can see the goodwill that exists in the Spanish government wanting to ensure that the welfare of British people living in Spain is continued. And frankly, it's not entirely altruistic, simply because the economic benefit that the several hundred thousand of British people bring to the economy of Spain when they buy their properties, build their swimming pools, engage their staff and all the rest of it, they don't want to lose that. Why would they want to lose it? Just because the UK decides to change course with the European Union. The government in Spain has been working hard on legislation to allow British citizens living in Spain, and most of whom in this context who are retired, to retain exactly the same rights that they've got now, even if the UK leaves the EU bloc without a deal. And Sanchez has said clearly that those benefits will be contingent on Spaniards having the same reassurance in Great Britain, which has already been confirmed by the UK government. So it appears to me that whilst there will be changes, they will be relatively modest. No one likes change. It will be more inconvenient to have to go and renew residence permits and obtain new NIE numbers, perhaps. But the truth is, most people who now live in Spain will be relatively simply covered by the actions they take in changing the way they deal with things now to whatever the new system turns out to be,
yeah,
in my opinion.
And even he put in the English on the official government website, the Moncloa website, a section in English, just reassuring the residents, which I think was a very good gesture.
I think a fantastic thing. And of course, the British Embassy in Madrid have also published a document to which you can access on their website, which will give you more information. But the simple, and of course, if you go to your Blevins Franks partner, or you go to an office of Blevins Franks, they have got unlimited amounts of material that covers all of the various aspects of what might happen in certain scenarios. A lot of what if questions, what if a deal, what if no deal, on all the key things for expatriates. So don't hesitate to contact Blevins Franks either directly or via the website for more information. But let me just say that the simple truth is, this is a change of membership for the UK. It isn't a breakdown in the relationship between the UK and Spain. And frankly, you know, they welcome foreign revenue that comes into Spain via foreign residents taking up occupation in Spain or residents in Spain.
Yeah. So what you're saying then, Bill, that those of us who are already resident in Spain can be reasonably confident that the rights will not change after Brexit. So moving on, is there anything that people who are already registered living in Spain need to do now before Brexit happens?
I think you simply need to be astute. You need to be aware, you know, what do you have to do? Well, the current registration certificates and ID cards as family members of an EU citizen held by a British citizen and their family members who are resident in Spain before the 30th of March 2019 will remain valid documents for proving legal residence in Spain following the UK's withdrawal from the EU if it happens at the 29th of March, and also from benefiting from the provisions of whatever the withdrawal agreement sets down as their rights. Now, once the transition period starts, the transition between getting to the point of Brexit and actually finally exiting the bloc, once that transition period starts, British citizens, UK nationals and their families resident in Spain before the 30th of March this year can request a definitive residence document, the Foreigner Identity Card, TIE, and that will prove that the holder is eligible for benefit from the rights that are included within the final and official withdrawal agreement. And so it's worth keeping your eye to the press. It's worth looking at the British Embassy website. It's worth talking to someone at Blevins Frank, simply to do no more than to keep you up to date, because these things are fluid and things are changing week by week. If you are a British citizen or you're a national of a third country, a family member of a British citizen who arrives in Spain after that transition period has started, a foreigner identity card is going to be issued directly. So, you know, this is pretty much how it used to be in the days before the automatic right to live within the European existed for UK nationals. You and I will remember, as I've said earlier, that going to a police station and picking up a residencia, advising them that you're now resident, getting yourself an NIE number so you're officially, as it were, on the books. But, you know, what are you going to do now? Well, if you haven't done so yet, you've got to register as a citizen of the EU resident in Spain. That's what you need to do. Now, until the UK's withdrawal, you're going to continue to be a citizen of the European Union. And as such, if you want to reside for more than 3 months in Spain, you have to register at the Central Registry of Foreigners, where a certificate of registration will be issued to you immediately. That includes your name, your nationality, your current address, your foreigner's ID number, and that date of registration. And that procedure will allow you automatically to obtain a registration certificate that is going to be of significant benefit following the date of the EU's final withdrawal in either of the two scenarios, i.e. a deal or no deal.
Yeah.
Now, in the case of an exit with an agreement, Howard, that certificate is going to allow you to prove your condition of beneficiary under the withdrawal agreement. And in the case of an exit without an agreement, that same document is going to allow you to continue to reside in Spain under the law and obtain the documents required by the immigration regime.
Yeah. Talking about sorting out residency, and if you want to change residency, for example, I've got this big green sheet that they gave, and they're now giving small cards, green cards. And I had to go mm-hmm. through the same process as if I was applying again, because I'm on, it's just the way it is. But now you can do it online. And you can download the form online, print it out. Actually, you have to write online, you print it out. And then you go to any police station and you pay €12. And you do that before you go to the police foreigners department. And when you go there with that paid document, then and other documents you need, they can do the thing and give you your NIE the following day.
Yep. It is how an inconvenience, okay?
Well, it's much better than it was before.
No, exactly. But, you know, some people may consider that procedure significant. Well, I frankly don't. It's a very simple process, and you've just explained it very clearly. At the cost of €12, you're now almost at the point of legally becoming a resident of Spain under the changes that will take place post-Brexit.
Yeah, indeed. So the advice really is for those who've not registered, follow that procedure and get registered.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly right.
Well, Bill, many people, though, apart from all the optimism that we have generally, we are still concerned about a couple of things, healthcare and pensions in particular. Can you provide any reassurances here?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think there are some concerns. I have some concerns over the planning for pension benefits. As you know, Howard, and we've talked about this lots of time, a qualifying recognised overseas pension scheme is an arrangement which is available to individuals who've got an accumulated value of pension funds or one or more funds, which allows, under the UK law at the moment, as a member country of the European Union, it allows you to transfer If it is appropriate to your circumstances, it allows you to transfer your pension fund from where it is into a thing called a QROC, a qualifying recognised overseas pension scheme. What's the benefit of that? Well, significantly less restrictions, access to the capital of the fund, less tax to pay, much more freedom of the way you invest, all sorts of benefits. A QROC is a very valuable tool. Now, under the EU directives, the UK cannot prevent you from literally from transferring your pension out of the UK into a QROPS as long as that QROPS is domiciled and registered in a member EU state. Now, of course, when the UK departs its membership of the European Union, and I'm not sure whether this will be part of the actual Brexit date or the something that will occur in the transition period, but certainly the clock is ticking. The fact is that if the UK is no longer a member of the European Union, HMRC in the UK may no longer be under any obligation to allow transfers of pensions out of the UK to a QROPS arrangement, even if it is domiciled in the European Union. And that could lead to significant tax penalties if you wish to make a transfer of your pension, up to 55% tax to pay to a non-qualifying QROPS. But more importantly, the restrictions on your pension fund are immense compared to the benefits that you can acquire under QROPS arrangements. So if you do have a pension fund, this is a vital time to be considering the next best step. But be warned, there are lots of scams going on with pension funds and so-called pensions advisors. You need to talk to somebody who's got qualified professional staff, who are qualified by examination, I mean, and who are regulated by the UK Financial Conduct Authority to give you the best advice in the manner in which you deal with your pension. You know, if you forgive the expression, if you screw up on the transfer of your pension, it may cost you the income that it would have provided for the rest of your life. Make sure you get this one right. Talk to someone at Blevins Franks. They're independent and impartial. And if it's not the right thing for you, for sure they will tell you. If it is the right thing for you and you need to take action, they'll lay out for you clearly the steps that you need to take. And healthcare, of course, is also a positive concern for people. I mean, if we come out of the Brexit negotiations with a solid deal, the Social Security regulations are going to remain in force until the end of December 2020. And that includes all the provisions referring to sickness benefits, patient mobility, and all the other things are covered by that. But if we come out without an agreement, there are, and there was before in Spain, before we had the freedom of movement under the EU regulations, there was a bilateral agreement between the UK and Spain. And in any event, I understand the Spanish government are working to ensure that the United Kingdom guarantees healthcare provision for Spanish citizens in the United Kingdom. And as a parallel quid pro quo, similar benefits will be made available to British people under a bilateral agreement living in Spain as full-time residents. So I don't honestly think that whilst there may be a little amount of disorganisation for you to have to cope with over the next year or two, I think once you settle down to the management of the new set of circumstances, you'll find very little disruption to the healthcare benefits as they exist now. The one thing you have got to do, as I've just mentioned, is to make sure you've lined up your pension ducks so that you don't end up wanting to do something at a point in time where the UK is no longer a member of Brexit and the rules have changed.
Yeah. Well, do you have any final advice for British expatriates in Spain about Brexit?
We speak on the radio, Howard, for 10 minutes, and this is a massive subject covering a whole raft of different financial, practical, almost imponderables. And within the Blevins Franks organisation, of course, we're looking to make tailor-made solutions for our clients. So I don't have a sort of one-size-fits-all remedy for Brexit and how it might affect the individual listener. But what I would suggest is that it's a sensible time, obviously, with such a huge change going on, for individuals to contact one of the Blevins Franks offices to have a casual conversation with the kind of things that might affect you, to find out whether or not you've got all your ducks lined up and that you've done all the right things to make sure that post-Brexit, deal or no deal, that you end up in the best set of circumstances possible and you haven't been left behind simply because you haven't taken appropriate steps, including the idea of obtaining the various documents you referred to earlier in respect of your residence.
Yeah. And how can people get in touch with Blevins Franks? I suppose the website is the first port of call.
It for everybody, I think, provided you have access to a computer or a computer-based system, then, of course, you can get to the website at www.blevinsfranks.com. And on that site, you'll find lots of information to perhaps give you a bit more confidence about who Blevins-Franks are. You'll see lists of their various offices. One, there will be one relatively close to where you live, and if not, they're only a phone call away. And I know that they have reams of information about the Brexit what-ifs, and if you want some of those documents, if you want to talk some through some of your own issues, please don't hesitate to give them a call. They'd love to hear from you.
Many thanks, Bill. We'll chat at the same time next week.
Take care, Howard. Have a good week.